I would like to tell you something about porting OpenOffice.org to 64-bit architecture, particularly MD64, but you can name it EM64T or X86-64 or whatever, but it's basically all the same. So in this presentation, I would like, first of all, focus on the brief introduction of this architecture. Then I would like to tell you what had to be done and what has to be done to make it compile and to make it run flawlessly on the architecture I'm going to talk about. Then I would like to tell you how to get it upstream, and I would like to present you with the present and the future of the project. So where are we now? What has to be done still? And also I would like to tell you something about good developer habits to save us work in all this. So first of all, I will introduce the AMD 64 architecture, or EM64T for the Intel. So what is it? Basically, it's an extended x86. It means that additionally to the real mode, additionally to the extended mode, it has also a long mode. This long mode means that in this mode has more registers. Also, you have longer long. This is 64-bit long. And also, you have longer pointers. This allows you to address more memory in one process. Also, it allows you access to larger files and stuff like that. And why to port it at all? So you can think that OpenOffice.org is a desktop application, so you do not need access to large files or things like that. But this is important. The porting is important for distribution of this. So for us, for SUSE as a Linux distribution, we have to provide many compatibility 32-bit libraries just to be able to run the Office Suite, which is quite not acceptable. Also, 64-bit computers are now quite available. For example, this notebook has 64-bit processor inside. So, but this is still 32-bit OpenOffice.org. I will show you then the 64-bit as well, but you will see yourself that it's not much usable at the moment. So there are also plain 64-bit distros. These distros do not have 32-bit libraries at all. So they have just they just look like ordinary 32-bit distributions without any additional path for these compatibility libraries. So this is another reason. And what is the difference for the programmer? So, as I said before, you have longer longs and longer pointers. This wouldn't be problem if all this would be used correctly. So this starts to be problem when you mix up some ints and longs, and you cast pointers to ints or longs or things like that. When you go deeper, you have more registers, which is also important for calling convention, which are different on AMD64 as well. I will describe it later how different the conventions are. So first step was to make it compile at all, because there were lots of problems with this. First of all, please consider that we are talking about more than 5 million of code. So this was quite a huge task just to discover all the places where it breaks. And some of the code is quite old. So when you there was some API and this was used later, and code implicated by this was used later and later, there were many changes. Like first of all, it was somewhere was used integer, then someone tried to use sal int 32, and then someone casted a pointer into this. So this introduced lots of problems when compiling for 64 bits. And of course, infrastructure for compiling had to be introduced. OpenOffice.org, as you know, doesn't use auto tools to decide whether it's necessary to what's the size of the long and stuff like that. All this has to be defined in an environment, and then it's used in the make files. So this has to be introduced as well. And of course, the suitable types had to be introduced so that we can use all this. The correct solution of the problems, of course, is not to use fixed size types everywhere. We have just to fix the failing places at first, and then we can see what are the next problems. So these are the most usual bugs. So the most simple is that in header files there is sal in 32, but when there's definition of the function, long is used. Well, it's very simple, but it takes time to discover all these places. So another is that function is declared with pointer to integer 32, and then when it's used long, it just tries to use long pointer to long. This of course fails as well. More advanced is then we go to inheritance, where you return one kind of type, and then you inherit this class, and you want to overload this method and use another type, which doesn't fail on 32-bit architectures but fails on AMD64. And there are more tricky places, like casting pointer into integer 32 and casting it back to pointer later. Or of course the last example is quite uncatchable at the moment. Maybe there's some warning for this, but I'm not sure at the moment. When we have compiled all OpenOffice.org, we have to program some missing functionality. I'm talking about bridges. If you were on the presentation before, you can know that is OpenOffice.org's component architecture, and that allows you interoperability between various component architectures and between various languages. So it has bindings to C++, Java, and Python, and this interoperability is done thanks to bridges. Why bridges? Convert calls from one language into binary, and then they convert binary, back to calls in the destination language. This is good because you do not have to create bindings for every language available. So if you want to introduce another language and wanted to you have to just create binding from this language to you know and from you know to this language. All other stuff is for free, binding for all the other languages. And of course, for every C++ compiler, this is different. Because different compilers have different ABIs, and also 64-bit architecture has another ABI than 32-bit on than the compiler on the 32-bit architecture. Maybe you know that on 32-bit Intel architecture, all the stuff is all the parameters when you call a function is stored on stack, and when you call and then you just call the function, and all the parameters are then read again from the stack. But this differs on AMD64. On AMD64, you have more in long mode, of course. You have more registers, and you and the ABI uses these registers for the calls. So you can this ABI uses 8 floating point registers and 6 integer registers just for argument passing. The rest is passed in stack as on 32-bit architecture. The tricky thing is that even small structures that are shorter than 125 bits are passed in integer registers or floating point registers as well. So one has to be careful about this. Well, so when we create binding from C++ to you know, we have to create tables of virtual methods for the objects that are to be called, and we have to fill it just with trampolines. It means with a small part of code where you just pass the ID of not ID, position in the of the virtual method, and you jump to code that according to this information jumps to correct that correctly fills the you know call and performs the you know call. Then when it comes back from the you know call, the return values have to be filled into correct registers or to stack again, and then we can return back. When it's from you know to C++, similarly we have to fill the registers and the stack, and then perform the call, and then what was returned, we have to fill it back to you know. So when this is up and running, we have to go to debugging. Luckily enough, it wasn't something like that. We opened the file and there was some every second or third or fourth or whatever letter. When we actually was able to open a file, it looked quite fine, but there are still some problems with this. But of course, there were some tricky misbehaviors that were just across all the office. For example, the menus were unusable because they had the correct width, but null length, null height. So this was just because that the call of X function that was there get the size of desktop was misinterpreted. It was, I think that it was called like a pointer to some 32-bit, and it was returned in longs, so it filled the zero into the height. And thanks to this, the menus were misbehaving. And also at the moment, we are able to open Microsoft documents, but not open documents. And of course, we still easily get crashes. Another part of this work is to get all the code that we have now to upstream. As you might know, development process of OpenOffice.org uses child workspaces. These child workspaces are in fact CVS branch plus additional info in ICE. So when you the usual process of integrating something into OpenOffice.org should look like that: you create a CWS, then you develop in there, then you let it to QA to go through this, and then to when it's approved by QA, it's merged into the master workspace. Well, this is quite problematic for huge workspaces like this 64-bit porting, because this CWS has a lot of fixes and lots of changes that relate all to other things. I mean that part of the fixes relate to the int pointer, so to the size of the pointer, and other parts relate to, for example, to size of an array somewhere, and stuff like that. So when a QA finds some bugs in this workspace, it's a showstopper for all the workspace, and it has to be given back to the developer. The developer has to fix the things that occurred. He has to give it again to the QA. QA then finds another problems. It has to be again done by the developer, and so on and so on. So I think that this huge child workspace are not likely to be integrated in reasonable time. So for 64-bit porting, we have we had once child workspace 00064-bit 01, which is already integrated, and it introduces fixes for basic support for AMD64, and also it introduces the build infrastructure, and it fixes several sub projects. Then we have 00064-bit 02, which is opened for more than a year. It's about a year and a quarter or something like that, and it already contains too much fixes, and also it breaks 32-bit support. So what I'm doing now is, when I have a fix that can be that doesn't depend on anything that is in 00064-bit 02, I'm trying to give it to a child workspace that is already opened for another fixes, or create a child workspace that is just for this fixes. But it works just for the fixes that are not dependent on anything from 00064-bit 02. for the ones that are depend on this, I let it in OBuild just for now, and usually I create an issue for them. And for the existing patches, I started to do a splitting of 0.64 bit 0.2. So far, I extracted two types of fixes. It was the introduction of sal int pointer, which is a type that is able to hold a pointer, a void pointer. I mean that it's a type that should be used on places when we cast a pointer into an integer. This is already got through the QA, so I hope that it will be integrated soon after 2.0. Another CWS was where fixes for handling of kerning, so the X arrays. And chance that this will get to master is increasing, because when you have several CWSs in parallel and some of them contains bugs that are found by QA, you still have chance that the others will not contain bugs at, and these will get to the master, and I or someone else can fix the remaining problems in other CVS in the meantime. And about the present and the future. With all the patches, as I will show you in the demo, we can run 64-bit OpenOffice.org. We can perform the basic operations. We can read some documents, but unfortunately, just Microsoft documents. The open document is loaded, but there's something wrong with Zoom, and so all the document is just a tiny, tiny spot on the screen. The bridges are not complete yet. Still, the test suite for the bridges fails. It's because there was some bridge before, but it was completely wrong. I started to rewrite it, but I didn't finish it yet. So this is why it's still failing. Of course, we have lots of crashes, and it wasn't ready to run this presentation with this. Now I would like to tell you about some good developer's habits. So first of all, it would be great if the developers had in mind that size of long doesn't have to be 32 bits, and the same with the pointer. Important thing here is, and of course would be great to avoid the bugs described in the beginning of the presentation. Usually it is about consistency, because as I said, lots of the bugs were just some miss. For example, the the difference. Sorry. For example, the difference between declaration and definition. It's just the proof of inconsistent usage of something. So if it was used consistently, it would be much better at the moment. So as a result, long or unsigned long is not evil. It's not necessary to introduce fixed type everywhere. Well, of course, when you use a 32-bit integer, it should be probably faster than using long, but it's not an issue at the moment. So. And of course, fixed size type have to be used during I/O, and of course, there's correct endianity has to be used during I/O. And as I said, casting pointers to integers, that is evil, but it's inevitable in many places in OpenOffice.org. So when we do that, we have to use sal int pointer, which is now introduced in int pointer child workspace. Previously, it was introduced in 0.0.0.64.0.2, but it is now extracted into this child workspace. And that's it. Yes? Well, it's I must thank Pavel that he always grabs whatever I have in 0.0.0 build and commits it into 0.0.0.64.0.2. But as I said, for the patches that depend on something in 0.0.0.64.0.2, they have to end up in 0.0.0.64.0.2. It's not possible to commit them to regular child workspaces because they depend on something from 0.0.0.64.0.2. So, did I? No. So, if you have, for example, a fix that converts some sal int 32 in sal int pointer, and you do not have sal int pointer in master workspace, so it's pointless to give it into workspace because it has to wait in on integration of sal int pointer or in pointer CVS or the 0.0.0.64.0.2. So it's possible to commit it to 0.0.0.64.0.2 as well, but I'm afraid that it would then do problems with merging. So okay. The other problem is here that the 0.0.64.0.2 is against some milestone 90 something, and I work against the recent milestones. So and I am unable to resense 0.0.64.0.2 because it depends also on some Star Office modules, which I'm not allowed. Sorry. I see. So, well, if you want to resense this child workspace all the time, but I hope that I will split it somehow soon into small workspaces, not depending on each other. So I hope that this is better plan with less work for you. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's the plan, yeah. Any other questions? Yes. Kai? Well, I will show you. Well, it's a Well, in fact, at the moment, I think that is small. It is slower. That's usually because I built just with debug info, and it has to be loaded. So I think that the result will be similarly fast, slow. But I don't know. I've already tried if it's possible to coexist 32-bit version with 64-bit. I mean that you have opened the 32-bit version, and you from command line try to open another window with a document from 64-bit, and it correctly through passes it this to the 32-bit version and opens the document in the 32-bit version, and the 64-bit version finishes, and so. But it was something other than you asked. So. Well, I'm afraid that there will be some differences, but I don't think that they will be too bad. Too bad. No, not yet. I hope that I will discover it during the extracting the patches from the 0064-bit 02. So I hope that it will show up. So, a small demo. I don't know how, but why, but I have just, I don't have entire screen of the laptop here, so I hope I will be able to handle it even. Sorry? I will try that. So first of all, you can see that it is really a 64-bit processor. Of course, you do not have to believe to my cat, but it really is.
sure the 64-bit executable. Sorry for that, because I don't have all the desktop, all the laptops in the US. Okay. So, we have had a chance. We can ride that. We had to. Easter egg here. of course, you can also open a spreadsheet. Perform some basic operations. Yes, I never tried it. Yes, 64 the game here. And we can even play. And as I said, we can even open my presentation somewhere to PowerPoint, but without pictures, unfortunately, and when we try to look at the so, okay.